Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, welcome back. It's snowy. Is it still snowing out here? We've got the shades down.
I think it is.
It when I came in. Oh yeah, look at it. I'm gonna open this here real quick.
Okay, do it live.
Do it live.
Yeah, it's still snowing.
I kid you not. There are people walking down the middle of the street right now.
Although
here at Soldiers Memorial, they did shovel the outside of the sidewalks.
Oh, do they?
This is a gorgeous snow.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
It looks like a Hallmark snow. Just very consistent. Some of the snowflakes are going up. Some of them are going down. Nice to look at from the inside.
This is what it looked like when I watched the movie Hot Frosty a couple weeks ago. What?
That look.
I don't watch those kind of movies.
I don't either. My wife was watching because she's grading. I wouldn't watch that trash. It was filth. But it was for families. It was family filth. Because it was about a hot Frosty. See, it's about a snowman who comes alive, but he's ripped.
Oh, look, it is.
Yeah, it really is. That's the premise of the movie.
It's got Gretchen Wiemers in it from Mean Girls.
Gretchen Wiemers?
Yeah, the one whose dad invented toaster strudels.
I do remember that. I don't remember the girl. Remember the toaster. I remember toaster strudels, really, is what
I'm
saying.
How many times can you say toaster strudels in consecutive fashion?
Toaster strudel, toaster strudel, toaster strudel, toaster strudel. Oh, it was four.
Keep going. I said how many times?
No, keep that one for Trivial Pursuit next time. No, that might show up. How many times can Wiggins say toaster strudel in a row? Anyway, Hot Frosty was not a bad movie.
It wasn't a bad movie.
No, they had a lot of this. You know, if you're seeing the snow, it was a lot of this kind of snow. It was very pretty. It was a little coastal town, probably a New England town.
Guess what? The hot dude's name is Jack. You know why? I bet he's Jack Frosty.
Ooh, I don't know.
You saw the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't understand, though, why he's wearing a denim t-shirt with the sleeves cut off.
You know what? He wears no shirt a lot for the winter. Like, in that whole movie... You'd think...
It's the same problem we have with Ethan.
Except when he's sick. That's why I knew he was sick, because he was all bundled up.
That's how you do.
Otherwise, he's like
you gotta put those
drawing
guns
lines
away
around his pecs and stuff, because he's thinking like, oh, this will be on the live stream. Okay,
here's a little shade.
A little grease here.
Yeah, well, the people who've been on the live stream, they know.
Yeah, you know.
Shirtless,
if you're just listening, you probably have no idea that Ethan is always shirtless.
He does wear a stocking cap, though, because he gets cold.
Mm-hmm. It's winter. Anyways,
he's probably helping with the Reardon show. We will continue this bit whenever he leaves our show.
Yeah, if he's not in on it, it's a little odd. Anyway, just to conclude, though, at the end of Hot Frosty, he does start to melt.
Don't give it away.
And no, I don't want to give away the entire ending, but I am.
but I do.
He starts to melt, but the town comes together, and they were going to put him in jail. I can't remember why.
What kind of crimes did Hot Frosty do? I really think that this is not the kind of movie that you thought it was.
It's not. I thought it was going to be, you know, my wife's like, hey, let's sit down and watch a movie
called
Hot Frosty.
And
I was like, sweet.
All right, let's go.
But then it was...
Your kids are at home
right
now?
It was rated G. It's actually a pretty cute little film. And anyway, the town comes together at the end and they save Hot Frosty from A, going to jail, which is really unfortunate, and then B, from melting.
You were in the industry.
Right, yeah.
How do you sit down at a table and be like, guys, I got an idea?
I don't know.
And how do people go, I think we can make that film?
I can tell you exactly how. You go, Christmas makes a lot of money, right? And they go, yeah. And they go, okay, well, how about Hot Frosty? And they're like, great, here's $10 million.
They probably thought they were making the other movie.
No, trust me. When it comes to crappy Christmas movies, Hollywood's going to shovel some money at them.
We're going to make Hot Frosty. We're going to get that chick from Mean Girls. It's going to be great. And then he turned out to get Gretchen Wiemers, who is maybe 3 or 4 in the ranking of Mean Girls. Mm-hmm. And it's about a G-rated prison-bound snowman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think he was prison-bound for the whole movie, but eventually. He does something that was just like, ooh, man, that was off color. You need to be in jail. But I think the moral of the tale is that we're each a Hot Frosty in our own way.
I don't want to know. You keep that to yourself.
No, that's the moral. You don't need to expand on that. Everybody understands.
Speaking of Frosty, did you see Karen Pence?
No, I didn't see Karen.
Did you see?
I saw Mike.
Did you see? Karen was sitting next to Mike Pence at Jimmy Carter's funeral. This was before they desecrated a worship service funeral with Imagine. Karen Pence was sitting down next to Mike Pence. Donald Trump walks in with Melania. Al Gore springs into action and shakes Donald Trump's hand.
No kidding.
Mike Pence shakes his hand. Karen Pence sat next to him, stayed seated, averted her eyes, and did not stand up to shake her hand. Some people are saying it's like super classless for her to do that.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I guess it depends on the relationship that Mike Pence and Donald Trump have. Because I have no idea what their relationship is like.
Donald Trump's hand.
So there's at least some cordial friendship there. I don't know if they're good. But
do you think Mike Pence is a good man?
I do, and I don't think Donald Trump... My guess is that he and Donald Trump had conversations going into the election season and said, I'm sure that they talked and he said, listen, Mike, we're going different directions. And that Mike Pence probably understood that fully well, that he was not going to be the pick this time. So if I were Mike Pence, I might be mad that things played out the way that they did.
I doubt they even had conversations going into this election about that. I would assume that those conversations took place. I mean, Mike Pence has said since January 6th, which is really where the Pence-Trump relationship dramatically parted ways. Because if that wouldn't have gone that way, I still don't think Donald Trump would have picked Mike Pence.
It would have been harder for him not to, but I don't think he would either.
I think Donald Trump is the Kool-Aid man who runs in any room the way he wants to.
Well, that's true.
But I have heard Mike Pence say that he and Donald Trump have had the discussions about, you know, a lot of people, and they're very much so on the left, are all of a sudden great defenders of Mike Pence. Why? As always, because they feel as though defending Mike Pence is a punch against Donald Trump. They don't care about Mike Pence. They care about attacking Donald Trump. So when you take up the you know, virtue of Mike Pence because you think that somehow or another that amplifies the J6 message that you think needs to be out there, then, I mean, that's as gross as it gets anyway. You're just using what you are saying regarding what happened to Mike Pence and how terrible it is. You're just using that for your own benefit. You don't care about making anything better. But I have heard Pence say, I think in interviews on Fox, that... And it was before, because he ran for president for a minute, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people were like, nah.
In 2020, three.
Yeah, he
four.
Was on. He was at the first debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
Weird. Karen is sitting next to Mike Pence, and she, I mean, the Trumps might as well have not even been there. She acted as though she couldn't even see that they were there. Do you blame her?
Yeah, kind of. If Mike Pence is cool with him.
Was that the wrong move?
Yeah, I don't think. It seemed like Mike Pence and Donald Trump, again, you may disagree, but I think they
Mike
have.
Mike Pence should think for Karen?
I think they have a mutual respect for each other. And they disagree on some things, and they parted ways.
Do you think that Mike Pence and his business relationship with Donald Trump is a different set of standards and circumstances than being the wife of Mike Pence? I mean, Trump has said some crap things about Mike Pence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's, yeah, I don't, yeah. That's a tough spot to be.
Here's what I'm saying. This is all I'm saying. And I think that what Karen Pence did yesterday was very intentional, obviously. There's no way for it not to be intentional. Your natural reflexive reaction would be to stand up and shake hands and then, oh, I don't want to shake your hand. You know, she did that very intentionally. But I think that Karen fiercely loves Mike. And I'm looking at those two and I'm watching real people react the way real people react. Meanwhile, Jill Biden, who comes in a little bit later and sits in the front row next to Kamala Harris and Dougie. Jill Biden has trotted her senile husband out for the world to laugh at. That's not love. Here's all I'm saying. I think that what Karen did was beneath the second lady, the former second lady of the United States. I think it wasn't the classiest thing that she could have done in that moment, but I get it. Because that is, to me, what somebody who is standing by her man, that makes sense in my mind. One of my favorite phrases, it is a very worthy explanation that doesn't also equate being an excuse. What do you think, Brad?
Well, as a husband, what I would think is I would want my wife to have that initial visceral reaction to somebody that she feels wronged me. I would want her to feel that way because what that tells me is that she does have some sort of deep affection and deep care about me, and that there's that order and magnitude of respect that communicates a lot about her, about what she feels about her husband. Now, would I want my wife to actually do it? Probably not. I think that it would. If I were talking to my wife before going into that situation, I'm gonna be like, honey, I know how you feel about this, but I need you to set that aside. Just for the moment that we greet them, be polite, be nice, and we'll get through this.
What if she doesn't want to?
That I would just convey my feelings to her, and I would leave it at
that. Tell her how you feel, and then she gets to do what she chooses.
Yeah, she gets to make her own decision.
How would you mansplain it to your wife? Listen, woman.
First of all, I'd sit her down, and I'd say right here. I'd point at my eyes.
Eyes.
Watch my eyes as we speak. And I'd say, here's what I need you to do today. I need you to pretend you like Donald Trump. And if you can't do that, my allegiance is to my country. What about yours? That's what I would say.
You wouldn't say that to your wife?
Okay, maybe I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
But we would have a serious discussion about it. And I would probably come away from that discussion a better man because she would put me in my place. In a sense, I'm her hot Frosty.
Oh, I'm going to text her.
You can ask her if we watch that movie together. She will tell you yes while we rapped.
All I want to know is who put the movie on.
She did. I did not put that movie on.
We'll find
Let's
out.
Let's not kid ourselves.
We'll go to the source.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Hot Frosty.
Would you say that Mike Pence is anyone in this country's hot Frosty?
Karen's. Obviously. Heck yeah. I think there is love in that relationship.
You know who else did not shake Donald Trump's hand? Michelle Obama.
She wasn't there.
She wasn't there.
Why?
Don't know.
Should she have been? She's the only one that wasn't. There was Bill and Hillary. There was George and Laura. George W. Bush walks into the aisle and backhand smacks Barack Obama in the
belly. Oh, they're having a good time.
That's the most, real, normal interaction. And I've saw a lot of people tweeting, posting, or whatever, these things, and, I feel like we're all being played. We're all supposed to hate each other. I don't think, pay close enough attention to know that the Obamas and the Bushes get along just fine.
Yeah, they do.
And have for quite some time. Trump is the only one there who was the odd one out. But then when you saw at this funeral, when you see Kamala Harris and Dougie were sitting there in the front row, and it was Doug and Kamala, Doug on the aisle, Kamala next. The Bidens are the last ones to come in. And Jill sits next to Kamala. Why are you not making it so that's not the case?
Yeah.
Jill came in and sat at a 45-degree angle away from Kamala Harris.
There's an official seating chart to these things.
Get it changed. You're the Vice President of the United States.
It has to be President, First Lady, Vice President, First Gentleman. They had to sit in that order.
Just tell Joe Biden he's the Vice President again.
It's just so weird. It's just so weird to watch because I'm sitting there watching this thing, just like you guys probably did somewhat, although you're on, I was off.
I've watched a lot of stuff on social media.
Yeah.
But that's all I really wanted
to
see.
But I was watching it live, and it was awkward because, you know, Donald Trump's there because he was the president, but he would shift seats in 10 days to be where Joe Biden's sitting now with Melania. J.D. Vance isn't even there, but he's the vice president-elect in 10 days, but Mike Pence is there. It was just...
But he was a vice president.
Yeah,
J.D.
I know,
Vance
but it's just
isn't
strange.
Anything yet, other than a senator. Just a meager senator from Ohio.
We're just so close, and all the news stories right now are mostly about what Donald Trump's going to do, what he's currently doing, and yet he's not the president yet, and so J.D. Vance isn't there. It was just weird.
It was more drama than you will see in a...
Yeah.
Afternoon soap opera. It
yeah.
was every little conversation, nuance, discussion that took place between all of them. I mean, it was really something to see. I want to play that one. Well, let's see. Do you have the clip of Ducey? Yeah, number 21. I'm going to play this real quick before we take a break, because the way Trump responded to Ducey's question was pretty funny.
Off the top, you mentioned the Carter funeral today. What were you talking to Barack Obama about?
It did look very friendly, I must say. I didn't realize it. How friendly it looked.
I think that's
a lie. I saw it on your wonderful
I think he knows
network
what he's doing.
Just a little while ago before I came in, and I said, "Boy, they look like two people that like each other," and we probably do. We have little different philosophies, right? But we probably do. I don't know. We just got along, but I got along with just about everybody on that. We met backstage.
You think he's talking about Karen?
I don't know.
Because when he talks about being backstage with them and everybody's getting along, he says just about everybody.
You know, before we went on, and I thought it was a beautiful service, but we all got along very well, which is good.
It is good. I enjoy seeing Donald Trump and Barack Obama talking in the way that they were. This might be an unpopular opinion. I liked that they were doing it. Why? Because Donald Trump is the one who has the power in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama doesn't. He could have influence. He could also participate in whatever way that Donald Trump wants to invite him to participate if Donald Trump deems it helpful. I don't know what that would look like, but I trust Trump to know and to not trust anybody with anything from the Obama years. I'm okay with seeing them together and respect each other. I think it's a healthy thing.
I completely understand that. I had the same reaction. However, I also fully understand why people are like, don't get chummy with these people. You're about to go in. If there's stuff to be exposed, don't be friends. You're not going to be able to do that.
Well, but yes, but I trust Trump.
Should be
this
able
time,
to, yeah, yeah.
To be in there and be like, hey, buddy, how's it going? And Barack being like, it's going really well. I'm so happy to sit next to you, Mr. President.
That's why that answer is so funny from Trump. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, we did look like we were pretty good friends there, didn't it? Yeah, well, we probably were.
Ducey asked him one more question.
About it. Peter, thank you very much. Does Biden do, does he do this kind of a news conference?
This is my longest ever interview of a president.
Yeah, well,
it's a press conference.
Longest ever before this was one question, and they would rush you out of the room, right? But we have nothing to hide about it.
That's great. That's great. Just the fact that Ducey would even ask that.
I mean, you have the president-elect. At a press conference, this is when he was meeting with all the governors. You have him letting people ask questions and he answers them. He goes on forever. I mean, to the point where people who are supposed to carry these are like, gosh, I don't know that we can keep doing this. And Trump's like, I'll take another one.
Mm-hmm.
This is so different than what we've been seeing, and it's good. It's good for you. It's good for America. It's good for America First. Quick break when we come back. Next question on the Annie Fry Show. What are your Ask Us Anything questions? We would love to hear from you. Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can throw your comments in there. If you subscribe right now, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes before you can make your first comment. So get over there real quick. Subscribe to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and ask us your questions. We'll answer them next.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
Okay, so on Friday, we like to give you the opportunity to throw some questions our way. And the best way to do that is to get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, and you can ask us anything, and we will plow through as many questions as we possibly can. The first one that I have for you guys is, what was the best thing that you got for Christmas?
The best thing that I got for Christmas?
Gift, whatever. Like, what was tops,
man,
this year?
I like getting food stuff a lot, and my mother-in-law bought me a bunch of sticks of...
butter?
Jerky.
Oh.
of butter. And it was all different animals. Like, it was elk and bison and...
like shapes?
Like little nuggets. They were chicken nuggets, but in shapes of other animals. That's,
she knows you.
It's really impressive.
Really well.
Yeah, I put them in the oven.
Dip them in some Andrea sauce?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the typical way that really you do anything. But I loved it. It was from the heart. dipping bison chicken nuggets.
How do you tell the difference between these two animals when they're in like nugget shapes that are all just suggestions? Looks like it's got four legs, or maybe what's that thing? I don't know. Brad, what about you?
I got a lot of great gifts for Christmas. My wife got me a hat and a John Deere hat and a John Deere shirt to wear, and I think I wore that shirt the day before yesterday, but I liked those. But really my favorite was she got me a Lego TIE Fighter from Star Wars, and like to sit down and build a Lego kit.
How large is this Lego, or how many pieces?
I don't know how many pieces it was. There was three bags in it because they sort them into bags now when you do it, and so you do bag one, bag two, then bag three. So there's three bags. And it was, I mean, physically, it's about a foot wide and 7-8 inches tall. So it's
sizable.
Sizable, yeah. It's pretty cool. And I had fun building it. And it's always fun to just kind of dive back into some of the stuff that was fun when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Lego Wars when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Where you build up a something and you just roll them at each other and see who smashes
it. Yeah, so my brother and I did that. We called it Destruction Derby.
Okay.
And we had a rule. Like, you had to have, your car had to fit a guy in it. And then the...
like a human?
No, the Lego guy. And it was over whenever...
he's out on the street. Hey, guy.
Whenever,
yeah, you look for a real small guy.
Whenever your character wasn't in the car anymore. So once he got tossed out of the car, your side won or lost.
Oh, that's a better rule than we did.
But then my brother started skirting the rules. It's like, no, your guy has to have arms and legs and a head. It can't just be the little torso part, because he would build that in there real tight. But yeah, my grandparents had a really long hallway, and we would just sit at the end of each hallway slamming these cars into one another.
Now Brad and I did not know each other's children. Apparently every boy did this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You said Lego Wars, and I was like, is this like, did you play with Legos and there was like some sort of competition, or is this like
we
the name of things?
Now, yeah, everybody would have called it something different, but me and my cousin Larry, I remember when we were kids.
You don't have a cousin Larry.
That's not true.
That's,
I do.
My cousin Larry.
My cousin Larry.
My cousin Larry.
Yeah. I'm writing a screenplay.
Me and my cousin Larry.
Me and my cousin Larry would, in our basement...
the adventures we would get into.
Go down there, and Larry would build up a Lego guy car, and I'd build up a Lego tank. And
in order for me to believe that you have a cousin named Larry, I need a photograph of you and cousin Larry as children.
Does Cousin Larry wear glasses? I feel like Cousin Larry wears glasses.
No way, man. Larry's not a nerd.
What if you wear glasses?
I'm a nerd. Larry's not, though. Larry's awesome. He was real into Def Leppard and stuff.
Was?
He wouldn't have worn glasses.
Do you have long hair and a headband?
My Maybe. Best gift that I got, I'm showing this on the YouTube live, my husband went to the diamond shop, and I got, after all the gifts were done, I think we went and ate after that, like at our house, we didn't go anywhere. Oh, we've got one more gift, which I think is what you say.
Oh, my
Bob
dad.
Wiggins
I didn't even
is.
Mention my parents are, they're unbelievable Christmasers.
Yeah. Well, he did that. And out comes this red bag. And I have this little paperclip chain bracelet that was custom made by Tom at the diamond shop. And it just has four stones in it. I'm not like a big jewelry person. If you ever notice the kind of jewelry I wear the same jewelry all the time. I don't change jewelry. And the jewelry that I wear has been... It's been a process to get to the point where I do wear a necklace. I do have on earrings, so on and so forth. But it's got the birthstone for each of my children, all four kids.
That's cool.
And it's very pretty, and I love it. And Tom custom made it for me and was great to Jared in getting it. And so the diamond shop, thank you, Tom. Thank you. That's my best gift. Next question.
I was going to say something, but...
Okay, go ahead.
No, I about what you're wearing, but usually when I comment on what you're wearing, it
actually,
ends up in the HR file.
I actually got Terry a custom necklace from the diamond shop
cool.
as well, so yeah.
What were you going to say?
That. I was going to say that.
That Brad got Terry?
No. I was going to say that I was going to comment on how beautiful your jewelry was. It's something I normally would do, but I just hadn't done that yet today.
You've never complimented me.
Okay. Yeah, if that's the way you take the things I say, then that's up to you. It's all behind
the
beholder.
Should we get Ethan in here to talk about comments that are made on personal appearance? Next question.
I have one. What do you think?
How timely.
RFK's effect on the 2024 election was?
The game changer.
You think it was the...
Yes.
The over the hill, tipped
RFK
it over?
RFK made Trump palatable for people who wouldn't have considered it before. Mm-hmm. How many times did you hear people say RFK says he's fine with it? If he's okay with him, I'm okay with him. I mean, listen, I just talked about this bracelet that I got from the Diamond Shop. I am partnered with the Diamond Shop, and they are my longest sponsor. The Diamond Shop came on with this show when I was doing Saturdays for 2 hours. They are the most wonderful people. I have a longstanding relationship with them. I am an endorser of theirs. They need me to get the word out that when you go to buy jewelry, that you are going to get the best possible experience you can in jewelry that's in stock or custom-made jewelry like I'm wearing right now. You need somebody to get the word out and to get the truth out. And RFK Jr. was that for Donald Trump to an entire group of people. That's not about turnout. That was about making the tent bigger. And the Republicans were completely focused on two things, fair elections and turnout, making sure people showed up to vote. And what RFK Jr. did was said, but we're going to add these people in too. I think it was the game changer.
Brad?
I'm with Annie on this. And I think that the biggest example that I can give of that was after RFK Jr. came on board, you had Zachary Levi come out and he basically said as much. And after that, you know, you saw the Rogan podcast hit. You saw the Theo Vaughn podcast hit. I forget all the other ones that we were on. But at that point, once that straw broke, all these other guys that were kind of like, libertarian, you know, that sort of person, they all kind of jumped in there and they're willing to, at the very least, have a conversation with him. And then when he had the conversation with him, he was able to close the deal on the sales pitch.
I agree with you guys that I think he was the game changer. I was approaching it differently, though, because you guys are talking about perception a lot, which is totally fair. But he was pulling about 4%, maybe 5%, especially in swing states. And Donald Trump only won those swing states by maybe a percentage point, which is a nice, comfortable victory for a swing state. But the fact that RFK was carrying that much of a percentage, and then some of them would have split to Harris. But I'm thinking, you know, data-wise, if enough of them shifted to Trump, that could have been the thing that shifted it, is RFK dropping out and supporting Trump. And Kamala wouldn't even take his calls. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, they're idiots.
That is so stupid.
Political malpractice.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Next question, Brad.
So, I guess my question is what is something that has taken you the longest to get good or decent at?
Oh, I quit things I'm bad at.
So Annie's is probably like...
Patience?
Yeah.
Perseverance? What's, you go first, Brad.
I always have to go first when I ask my questions.
Well, it's because you ask the most deep...
Very deep questions.
I'm sorry.
No, you'd be sorry, but that's just why you go first, because now we're thinking.
I mean, one of the things that I look at A, doing the show, this was a whole big shift for me from anything that I'd ever done before, and I feel like doing the show has been one of those things that it's taking me, and I'm going to use the word decent, it's taking me a long time to get decent at. 3 years, well, going on 4 years now, it's one of the things, but I think the other thing is my ministry and youth ministry, because when you first go in, you're bright-eyed, you got all these ideas, and you've got theory, and then theory's put into practice, and man, the amount of change that culture has gone through from when I started youth ministry to now is mind-boggling, and it's just, you have to keep up and stay on top of it and be agile and pivot.
So. How about, Ryan, I do yours and you do mine?
Well, I already know what yours is, so what? That's not fair. It's patience.
Oh. He's not wrong. I'm not a very... I mean, I'm just not a patient person.
I'm not either.
I'm a results-driven person. I'm also, I would say, a very dedicated and hardworking person to get... I like to win. I'm competitive, so I want to see success. I don't need the world to know about my success, but I would like to feel good in my success. That's what I'm going to say. Something that's taken me a long time to get better at. What was the question? How'd you word it?
What has taken you the longest to get good or decent at?
Shelving my compulsion to be competitive. Because it doesn't matter nearly as much as my reflex to be competitive would have made me think. Like, you got to win at everything. I have learned, it took me a long time to just, like, I knew that I had to fake that I didn't need to compete at stupid things that nobody else is competing on. I had to fake it. I had to lie to myself. It was a very active process to be like, this is not a big deal. Like, just chill. And now I'm much better at... legitimately, and I say this not, I'm not saying this in a, like, a flippant way, legitimately not caring about a lot of things in life that don't really matter. And also, I still care fiercely and passionately about the things that I do deem what matters. So I would say prioritizing and not letting that natural instinct I have to constantly compete, at least just in my mind, on everything, I've been able to push that away as much as possible when it doesn't need to be in place.
For me, it's archery.
Still working on it?
Yeah.
Tell us about the accidents.
I've told people at this point, don't even stand anywhere in the direction of the target. Because they used to stand right next to it because I want my arrows out of it as fast as possible because I don't have a ton of them. But I started telling them, why don't you take a few steps over, because I was just worried about them. It took a while before I got to the point where...
Yeah, rest in peace, Bob.
Before...
Oh, I forgot that's your dad's
That's my dad's name, so I didn't
George!
Shoot my dad with an arrow.
Not Larry. We all know it wouldn't be Larry.
No, Cousin Larry is awesome.
I didn't say that Cousin Larry isn't awesome. I'm sure he's the best person you've ever met,
you're
Larry.
You're going to get an email and a letter from Cousin Larry.
I just want a photograph and a birth certificate.
I don't know if he's going to have that. He's kind of a rolling stone, you know.
I see how he's evolving as the show goes on.
Aside from archery, I would say banjo, because I always, and this is not a true story, I always wanted to be able to play the Deliverance song anytime a group of dudes were together.
You just do what every other dude does and go...
But I figured out I could just do that. And so it saved me years of trying to learn the banjo.
But isn't the question something that it's taken you a while to get good at?
Mm-hmm.
You're a quitter just like me.
Yep.
Okay.
So patience is where I was going with this. And I was testing yours.
We have more questions. We will answer them when we come back. If you want to throw one our way, see if you could throw us for a loop on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ Annie Frey, F-R-E-Y. More questions from you and from us in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Frey Show. We're in the little bit in the middle of next question here. Your Ask Us Anything questions we're taking on the Annie Frey YouTube channel. I'm going to start here with Kate Team's question from the YouTube channel. Kate says, what would you like to see Trump do first once he's sworn in? Brad, what do you think?
The first thing I want to see him do is secure the southern border. Lock it down. Whatever he needs to do, sign whatever he needs to sign. Get it done, and then we can worry about passing a bill through to make whatever executive order or however he chooses to do this or needs to do this permanent, because that to me is still the biggest thing facing the country.
I was going to say something with energy, but I have a hard time disagreeing with Brad. That's the most pressing current concern. Now, number of crossings has dropped a little bit in the last few months, but it's still such a major issue that it's got to be addressed quickly.
Yep, I would agree. Put everything back in place the way it is. Energy is another huge one. I would kind of like to look at the order at which Joe Biden undid Donald Trump's things when he came in with the executive orders. And I would kind of look at those things and put them all back the way they were. I will put a sub question on this. How quickly and how boldly do you want Donald Trump to pardon J6ers?
Quickly and boldly.
All of them?
Yeah, like I said before, I'm not sure there's anybody who hasn't already served what they needed to serve in the last 4 years.
Are they owed more than a pardon?
Yeah, there are some of them that are owed like the gratitude of their country for what they've had to endure by this administration.
The
this
apology current, of their, from their country. Yeah,
the current administration brushing aside the U.S. Constitution and due process for some of these people is abhorrent, disgraceful, and unbelievable that they've been able to get away with it. And those people need an official apology from the country.
Anything more than words?
I mean, I don't think there should be any sort of like...
How many of these people have lost livelihoods, have lost their potentially homes if they weren't able to provide for them? There are people who have lost their lives. There are people who were under the duress of this justice system who killed themselves. Families that lost loved ones. You know, I don't know what's on the table. I don't know what the possibilities are. But the overreach of the Biden administration in the wake of all of this is incredibly dramatic. I don't know what the solution is, but just being like, well, we pardon you for the things that you did wrong doesn't seem like it's enough to me.
It just seems tough to go down that road then, because then you have to assess, well, what is a year of a person's life worth? You know, I don't know how to do that.
Something.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, it cost him something. I'm with you, Ryan. I think that he should pardon them boldly and quickly. And I do think that especially the people that have been in prison without a trial, just no legal recourse whatsoever other than, hey, just wait until we get this together to put you away. I think that's awful. You have the right to a speedy trial. You have a right to a jury of your peers. I think it's horrible that people are doing this just to quote unquote make an example of people. Everybody can look at this, and especially people like that have been sitting in prison without, you know, a trial, without anything, can tell that it's political prisoners. And Annie, you're right. They need something back. I don't know what that is, but the government has to make it right because they have stolen and violated their constitutional and civic rights.
Cheryl asks, AFS, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Brad, where do you see us in 5 years?
As a show.
How about 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Let's narrow it down a little bit. Just think, in 5 years, we'll be a year into J.D. Vance's presidency.
Wow. That is really something.
I've said this before in another Ask Me Anything. I think that I could see us kind of as a social media empire. With other,
see, I told you we were going to be emperors.
It'll be our show, and there will be other shows that will join in on the Annie Frey Show, and we'll have multiple shows underneath our umbrella.
We did some things while you were gone, Ryan.
Social media empire.
We'll tell you about
yes.
What? I see us do. I see the radio station being more of a launch, and us doing the. You remember in 2020 when all the hospital workers would do those dances in the halls? I see us moving into that. So
when you hear social media empire, you hear like at the forefront of dance trends on TikTok.
No, social media empire is too big. You're dreaming big. I love that. Mm-hmm. I see us moving much more into the choreograph dance.
What he means is unemployed.
But which still is having on the fun. Table.
Let's
and
just
spending a lot of time doing it.
And loving it.
If you like the Annie Fry Show, please write your representatives.
Yeah.
And tell them.
Where's all that PBS money going to go once Trump cancels it?
AFS?
AFS.
Right.
They're getting a boatload of cash too, aren't they?
PBS?
Public media.
NPR gets, I think, around 10% of its funding from the government, so it's not. It's still a lot of money. It's just not a huge part of their budget, so they're not going anywhere. PBS, I'm not sure about.
Where do I see us in 5 years? I would love to be doing this in 5 years. Radio is tough. I got to tell y'all, radio is tough. I am constantly, and like Brad and Ryan see it super up close, and the support that our show has here mm-hmm. at Odyssey St. Louis has been amazing. You saw this. We were announced by Barrett Media, which is a industry, kind of a trade in the industry. I think that they go with 40 major and mid-level market executives, and they rank shows across the country. And our show was ranked the number 6 mid-market, midday show in the country, which means we are super mid.
Yeah, and proud of it.
Mid.
So, like, right there, we're, like, middle of the ranking in middays, in the mid-market. You can't get more mid than the Annie Fry Show. Mm-hmm. Put that in a promo.
I'm going to start wearing a midriff just for the stream. Just for the social media empire.
Will you write number 6, but make the loop and the 6 be around your belly button? Yeah,
I will.
Will you not come near me when you do that?
I will do that.
So all that to say, we are getting recognized across the country for what we're doing here, which is awesome. For morning show, the Mark Cox Morning Show was recognized on the morning list. Mark Reardon was recognized on the afternoon list. Some of our sister shows over at Camel X were recognized as well. So I think we're doing something good here, mm-hmm. noon to 3. But everybody knows this. This isn't specific to radio, but it's very, very inflamed in radio. Like, the bottom line and everything is always the driver. Things don't always make sense on the outside. I can say with full confidence that here we have the full support of people who help contribute to the show. I say this all the time because I feel it bears repeating. Nobody ever comes and tells us what to do on the show, what to say on the show, what not to say on the show. The people who talk to us about our show are like, what do you need? Can we help brainstorm? Like, how can we help you? So it's been an amazing experience here. If I were sitting here in 5 years, and Ryan, you're sitting to my right, and Brad, you're sitting across from me, and Ethan's sitting shirtless outside, associate producing, I would be as happy as can be. I don't know if Ethan would be happy with that setup, but I'm incredibly blessed to do this. I'm so thankful for the people who listen. I'm always surprised when people listen. I'll start telling stories in my real life about. They'll be like, "Oh, I heard you talk about that on the radio." I was like, "Oh, you did? That's so cool." If not here, then maybe somewhere else. And if not somewhere else, if I'm not doing radio, I would love to potentially run for office one day, and I would hope to take my social media stuff with me and do what I can along with that. I don't know. 5 years in my life is going to be, there's going to be a dramatic change in my lifetime in 5 years. And yours too, Ryan. You know, I think about the kids growing. It's like everything you do when you have littles at home revolves mm-hmm. around your kiddos. And as they become more independent, you get to ask yourself more questions about you, because when you're a parent, nothing is about you.
I'm just glad to know that in 5 years, my kids will still not have driver's license because they're 10.
Oh. Right. They'll have a permit.
Yeah, I guess we'll be doing that in 5 years. That's the answer to the question.
Yeah. Cheryl, thank you for the question. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Let's have some fun in the 2 o'clock hour. Always good to have that. If you go to anniefryshow.com/podcast, you can catch what you miss on the show. You can also find the YouTube live stream there. You can also email the show and tell us what we're doing that you like, what we should do more of that you'd like to hear. All that at anniefryshow.com. More Annie Fry Show right around the corner. Don't go away.